When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Football's back, baby! The preseason officially over. Regular season. The next time we'll see the NFL, Sterling, it'll be opening kickoff next Thursday night. It's coming up. It's back. How are you feeling on this Monday morning?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel strong. Football's back. College football. Florida State losing. But if only they would have had their starters, they'd have been great. Sorry, that was a shot at Florida State. Didn't mean to take that, but come on. Kind of deserved it. No, I'm excited. Chiefs play very, very soon. Yep. Very, very soon. We're getting close, Ian. We're almost at the finish line. We're the final mile of the marathon. We are there.
Yep. Yeah, we're there. And that's why on this show, we are going to finish the show by talking a little fantasy football, because Sterling, I don't know if your fantasy football draft is coming up, but mine certainly is. My first one is this Thursday here in just a few days. So we're going to have Lior Lampert from Fansided join us at the end of the show to talk a little fantasy football, because most people, now that preseason is over, will be having their fantasy drafts this week or early next week. I'll never understand the insane people who have their fantasy football drafts in mid-August when preseason still happens. You're just doomed to draft a guy who then tears his ACL. So in my opinion, fantasy football starts this week. So Lior will join us at the end of the show to talk fantasy football. But first, let's wrap up the preseason, Sterling. We are going to get to your Chiefs a little bit because, as always, they are in the news. But a couple notable other things. Jahan Dotson
trading to the Jahan. Eagles.
Jahan?
I think it's Jahan, yeah.
I like to use a silent J. Traded to the Eagles from the Commanders. What do you think of that move, Sterling? I mean, that gives the Eagles an unbelievable weapon at the third wideout spot.
Unbelievable
as a number three.
Out of college. No, I mean, I liked him coming out of college a lot.
Right.
He's done hardly anything in the NFL. I mean, it's not been good. The Commanders were talking about cutting him. They were talking about letting him go. Like, I like him too. I think there's potential still there. He's a young dude. And you can make the case of he's had no one to throw him the football.
Right. That's the case I was about to make.
Jerry McLaurin sure looked good. Like, if you're elite, you look good no matter who's throwing you the football. Like, when Kirk Cousins went down, Justin Jefferson still looked pretty damn good when whoever was throwing him the football.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Jahan Dotson needs to be Justin Jefferson, but the great players, they look great with whoever is that quarterback. Jahan Dotson was in an offense that still threw the ball a lot, and he struggled. He didn't look good. His yards after catch are abysmal. Again, for the Eagles, I like the chance. You didn't give up a ton. For the Commanders, I guess I like it because you're going to cut them either way.
Right.
So if you're going to move on, you at least got something back. That's nice. Philly was just in a situation where their wide receiver four was who? John Ross, who retired last year. Now he's back. Like, it's not great. So they needed something. They needed someone. I like the move, I guess, for both teams, but it's not necessarily this massive needle mover. It was more just trying to win on the margins for both teams.
Yeah, this is, listen, he's had 2 years in the league. He's never had a good quarterback. I'm still willing to cut him a little bit of slack. I mean, this is going to be kind of a do or die situation for him in Philadelphia. This does kind of hurt. I had a lot of Paris Campbell stock when he came into the league, who's now on the Eagles. He was probably going to be the number three receiver. So Dotson probably hops jumps over him as the third option at wideout. So that, yeah, that hurts my Paris Campbell. I was a big Paris Campbell guy when he was coming to college.
Bold man.
Yeah.
Well, I was Trey Lance, so we all get them wrong from time to time. I do want to take this time to apologize to all Falcons fans for having just thin skin. I'm sorry your skin is very thin.
No. Finally, I was on the right side of the comments on a show. Falcons fans came in droves. I had them following me on Twitter, tweeting at me, saying I was, I'm the only, one of the only people out there defending our team. They came out in droves, and they did not like your take last week. Rightfully so, Sterling.
They flocked to me like roadkill on the side of the road. They were picking at me,
holding you accountable.
I said, I think I ripped the over of the Falcons win total. I said they probably win at least one playoff game, and somehow that's not enough. Somehow that was not enough for Falcons fans who have not been relevant in 15 years.
Yeah, but
since Michael Vick was a quarterback.
Said it after you trashed them for 20 minutes. They have no great players. Safeties are important.
No. I said they have great players.
Who cares about them? Oh, yeah. And by the way,
I
bet the over on their win total.
I said they have great players. I said they don't have elite players. There's a difference.
I don't think that's true. I think you said they have good players, but not great players. I don't even think you went to the elite level.
I think I went elite level. I said Matthew Judon. Really good player. Really good
player. Not great, though. Not great. That was the whole thing. You said they didn't have great players.
I think I said elite.
I don't know. We'll have to review the film.
We're about to roll the tape back at some point.
Yeah.
Point still stands. I thought I was very complimentary of the Falcons. So you should understand my confusion when I all of a sudden look back and go, damn, they're dragging me in the comments right now. And I'm looking back. What did I say bad? That the Falcons would go over their win total and win a playoff game.
Yeah, but you said that after trashing them for 15.
Didn't trash them. I'm an honest man.
Your compliments about the Falcons, they came off as patronizing, to be honest. They were like, little Falcons. Yeah, look over the win total. We'll see there. Chiefs will win another Super Bowl, though.
Most likely, yeah, they will. And most likely, the Falcons are the fourth best team in the NFC, which somehow was also bold take, saying they're behind San Fran, Detroit, and the Eagles. How is that a hot take? It's a normal take. It's lukewarm.
We'll see.
Sorry about thin skin, Falcons fans. I appreciate you. I like you all. I have no ill will towards the Falcons. I don't like the Falcons, but I have no ill will. They're there. They're the NFC. They don't bother me.
Even when you compliment the Falcons, it comes off as patronizing. Oh, they don't bother me. I don't even really care about them.
I'm just saying. I thought I had a very nuanced take of, Hunter, I'm with you. They do need to toughen up.
Just we're sick of. Nobody respects, even when the Falcons were like, going to the Super Bowl and getting into NFC championships, nobody respected them ever. I remember one season they started the year like 10-0 and no one was talking about them ever. I don't know what it is. It's just like NFL fans and NFL media just like pretend the Falcons don't exist, no matter how good they are. And we're kind of sick of that. Give us some respect. Meanwhile, like the Cowboys when like... are like an average team and never do anything in the playoffs. And all you see on the media is Cowboys talk. Nobody ever talks about the Falcons ever.
Dog, if I have a chance to rip on the Cowboys, I'm all in. You know this about me. I rip on the Cowboys. I rip on big media. I rip on the big teams. Okay. I do. Falcons fans, I'm sorry. I love Matt Ryan. Great dude. He remembered my mustache every time I talked to him. Great guy. I like Julio. I like those teams. That 3-year stretch was electric. It was great for you guys. I'm happy for you.
We just want a little respect. That's all. That's all.
I said you win the NFC South and rip the over on the win total, and somehow that's not enough.
No.
Delusion.
We got to keep things moving here because we do got to get Lior on here to talk fantasy football. But I do want to declare the Denver Broncos the winners of the preseason. Do you agree? Three preseason games, 34 points, 27 points, 38 points. won all three games, two of them in absolute blowouts. Bo Nix is named the starter. He actually kind of looked good. Yes, it's the preseason. Yes, it means nothing. I remember the Oakland Raiders 15 years ago went 4-0 in the preseason and then went like 2-14 in the regular season. So it means nothing. But if there is a winner of the preseason, I'm going to give it to the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, the Chiefs went 0-3, so their season's lost. Being facetious. I take all of preseason with a grain of salt. But as far as what they looked like, there's some promise there.
Yeah.
I was not a big Bo Nix guy. Just wasn't for me. Wasn't my cup of tea. You look good. Will it translate? I don't know. Well, when he's going up against defensive starters the entire game, will right. it continue? We'll see. But if you're a Broncos fan, I can at least understand you getting excited. Maybe not for this year, but thinking, okay, maybe we at least have some building blocks here. Maybe there's at least something here. Yeah, I like that. It's a good call, Ian.
Yeah, it means nothing, obviously, but at the end of the day, I think as a Broncos fan, you'd rather see that from your team in the preseason than the opposite.
At least.
Even though in the long run it means nothing, it gives you some hope.
Oh, when the Chiefs are winning two games a season, that's what we had.
Right.
Oh, the preseason. Look, we have hope.
Right.
It doesn't always translate, but at least for 3 or 4 weeks, you have hope.
You have hope. And that's what the NFL, that's what being a fan of a bad team is all about. If you can just get some hope for a few weeks, that's all you can ask for. Wrap up your Chiefs preseason thoughts. The two biggest stories, I think, over the last week, Creed Humphrey signed an extension. He's now the highest paid center in the NFL. And then breaking this morning, they're bringing back Juju Smith-Schuster, who what a fall from grace he has had. Now he's going back to Kansas City. Just give me your final preseason thoughts for the Chiefs.
Yeah, preseason was actually mostly brutal for Kansas City. No one's taken over that CB2 role. It's been a little bit of a struggle at times for them. The ones have looked fine, so I'm not worried necessarily once the season starts. But some of the depth pieces that we were excited about have not looked the same. Now, obviously, I always want to point out, when you're seeing, for example, no one's probably going to know this name, a Cam Jones. Well, when he's now the leader on this second and third unit, those other guys might not know exactly where to be. But if you inserted Cam Jones with Nick Bolton and Drew Tranquil, well, all of a sudden he looks fine and he's a fine piece now. So whenever you see these debacles and breakdowns, when you're looking at the second and third and even fourth units, just around the preseason for whatever team you root for, think of the individual player and what they would look like if they're playing now with the other starters and not just with all backups. Cause I do think there is a distinction to be made there. Juju Smith-Schuster, very quickly, he looks like he's signing this morning with Kansas City as of a report from Jordan Schultz. I don't understand this. I really don't. Unless there's a suspension on the way from Rashee Rice, which we've heard nothing about. I don't see where he fits. I don't get what Juju Smith-Schuster brings at this point for Kansas City. Maybe I'm wrong, but he ain't playing special teams. And when I'm talking about wide receiver 5 and 6 and even 7 to an extent, that's pretty much all you do. Last year, their wide receiver 6 in 10 games had 11 targets. What's more valuable, the 11 targets over 10 games or special teams? It's special teams. I don't understand it. I'll get more clarification later on today as more information comes available to us. But as of now, I'm perplexed by this. Creed Humphrey, he wanted guard money. He got guard money. He got 18 mil per year. This was a great move for all centers in football. I like it for Kansas City as a team who's traditionally not paid their center, from Mitch Morse to Rodney Hudson. They've had good centers. They've let them all walk. Well, now they have an elite center. They paid them. They have a lot of offensive line up for contracts the next year or even two. They pay the anchor. They pay the center. I always thought of center almost as the tight end market, where it's like, we know they do a lot more, yet they're not getting paid like wide receivers. Right? they paid a center like a guard. That's huge. Big for the market, big for the transition, the moving forward of the position. Think it's a good move for KC.
I'm just going to quickly wrap up my thoughts on the Falcons preseason. Then we're going to dive into some fantasy football stuff. Really, I mean, the Falcons didn't play any of their starters for the most part during the preseason. I don't know how that's going to translate to the regular season. That makes me a little bit nervous. Raheem Moore said that he liked the team scrimmages a lot more in terms of getting the starters in there. But that does make me a little nervous for week one. 3-point favorites to the Steelers at home in week one. I think Falcons seem like the obvious bet there, but then a little bit of rust with their starters. Kirk Cousins, no preseason action. Especially basically all their starters on offense, no preseason action. We've seen that hurt teams in the first couple of weeks of the regular season in the past. Wouldn't be surprised if it hurts them this year. But the big news for the Falcons is this past week. Obviously, we talked about the signing and the trades last week. But since then, signed A.J. Terrell, my guy A.J. Terrell, to a four-year extension. I'm on record as an A.J. Terrell guy. I have two jerseys. One of the jerseys I have is an A.J. Terrell jersey. If I'm being completely honest about A.J. Terrell, though, high-ceiling guy. When he's at his best, he's truly one of the elite corners in the NFL, but we just don't see his elite form as often as we would want. He's kind of like Sterling, how we've talked about Trevor Lawrence in the past, how we've seen the ceiling of Trevor Lawrence and how good he can be, but he only brings that level of play three games a year. And that is kind of what AJ Terrell is. We've seen it at times, but for the majority of games, and still, it's not like his floor is low. I mean, his worst is still, a very good corner. But now that we have signed him to a pretty significant contract here, 4-year, $81 million deal, we need the elite version of AJ Terrell to show up more often than we've seen the past 2 years. His rookie season was fantastic. The past couple of 2 years were inconsistent, but I like AJ Terrell. He's very talented. I still think there's a strong possibility that this contract's going to look good, in the next couple of years. But like I said, we just need that high end AJ Terrell version of himself to show up more often than not.
I liked the signing early. I loved it when I first saw the notification, AJ Terrell, 4-year extension for the Falcons. I like AJ Terrell. And then I saw the money and I had a little bit of a gasp. That's a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
For a cornerback, that's a lot of money. That's elite cornerback money. Now we'll see where the market goes, right? I mean, we'll see. When guards and centers are getting paid $18+ million a year, well, that just also means the salary cap is rising. So we got to get used to these larger numbers. You're right. Maybe in 2 years down the road, when he enters his third year in the contract looks normal, right? Could be. Either way, I like the move for the Falcons because he is a really good corner. You've talked about it multiple times. The secondary, before they brought in a couple of nice safety pieces, cornerback was a little bit of a weakness. They were looking for CB2. They were looking for CB3. They made sure they got their CB1, though, taken care of. Smart move.
Yeah, and there are a lot of elite corners who will be signing new contracts within the next year, next offseason. So I think now was a good time in terms of that to kind of lock AJ Terrell in for a 4-year deal. Because, yeah, there's some big names at the position that are going to reset the market quickly. So even though it looks like a lot of money right now, I think it'll look better kind of as time goes on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. So there you go. That's our preseason recap. We will be back Wednesday to give our season preview. But still, we got more to get to on this show today because we are going to talk fantasy football. Like I said, preseason wrapped up. It's time to get your fantasy football drafts going. My first one is this Thursday. I have another one Saturday night and another one this weekend. I'm in too many leagues. I'm in 4 leagues. But because I'm in so many leagues and because they start this week, I need to bring in an expert to talk fantasy football. And that is why we are bringing on Lior Lampert, staff writer with FanSided. He's going to go through and give us his thoughts on some fantasy football players. Lior, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Sterling, do you have fantasy football drafts coming up?
I do. I looked it up right now. It's on the 2nd. It's on September 2nd. So 7 days away is what it looks like.
Rule number one. Now, rule number one for your fantasy, always make sure to check the date and time and also read your league settings. Know the format you're playing in. So, yes, you know, draft accordingly.
I'm trying to figure out where I'm at in the draft, okay? I don't know if that's been set yet, but I'm getting very, very nervous that I'm going to be 9 or 10.
Lior, let's start off by talking about the quarterback position. Obviously, an important position, one that has increased importance over the past number of years. What do you look at the impact of the quarterback position and the battles that we've seen so far this preseason? I mean, we already saw, and we mentioned earlier on the show, Bo Nix has won the starting gig for the Broncos. And I mean, this is another reason why I think people who do their fantasy football drafts in mid-August are insane. You don't even know what quarterbacks are starting for all teams. What are your thoughts on how we look at the quarterback market heading into this week? Now that we, for the most part, I know there's a couple teams that still have to kind of announce their starters. Steelers, but it's probably going to be Russell Wilson. Patriots, we don't really know with May and Brissett. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the quarterback market heading in this week?
Yeah, I mean, regarding the two that we do know that the jobs have been settled, the Raiders and the Broncos, I think Minshew starting over O'Connell, I think that's the best case scenario for all parties involved. Mm-hmm. Gardner, he's a known commodity. Obviously, the unproven upside of O'Connell is tempting, but I think Minshew's proven that he can support fantasy-relevant receivers. Just look at Michael Pittman Jr. last year.
Yep.
He was more than relevant, especially in PPR leagues. Same with Josh Downs as a rookie before he got hurt. He was putting up solid wide receiver 3 flex value as well. So, I mean, just supporting multiple pass catchers is impressive. And also, I think having a veteran who the brain trust of Antonio Pierce, Getsy, Tom Telesco, they all reportedly feel he's a better fit for the offense right now. So, I mean, I just think everyone involved benefits, and it's just something that they're all going to continue to work on. And, I mean, even if he doesn't work out, Aiden O'Connell's a good safety valve to have, in my opinion. And then regarding Bo Nix, I mean, I think he's the ideal outcome. We know what Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham aren't. They're not very good. We don't know what Bo Nix is, but he looks comfortable running Sean Payton's offense, albeit in limited exhibition reps. So I definitely think there's some untapped potential there. And I think that that's also the best case scenario of the outcomes.
Yeah, I know we talked Gardner Minshew before on the show, Sterling. Definition of an average quarterback, but still high upside. I mean, people still forget that, you know, the Colts were a drop pass on fourth down away from winning the AFC South last year. So, yeah, Gardner Minshew being named starter certainly doesn't scare me away from drafting Raiders players, Sterling.
No.
Oh, dude, I'm with you. I've been a huge Gardner supporter for a while now. He's the definition of average, but also has such a wild array of outcomes. But It's a very fun average. Speaking of average, talk about ADP, average draft pick. Position, whatever you want to call the P.
Yeah.
We're going to push some P on this show. who are you avoiding at certain ADPs right now?
Who I'm avoiding? Okay. So, I mean, I got a few in mind, but for at the top of the draft board, and this one might be a little bold, I'm avoiding CeeDee Lamb just until we get some clarity on the contractual situation. I mean, originally I had Jamar Chase here for the same reason, but he reported to camp or to practice yesterday. That was some huge news. So it's really just the risk reward here. You can't win your draft in the first round, but you can lose it. And I think that there's a lot of people who have similar stability / upside that Lamb offers going after him. You might as well just target those guys who you know will be there week one and have been practicing with their teams throughout the offseason. I just think it's hard to expect a player like Lamb to be in game shape right away and expect him to be putting up the top receiver numbers like he was last year so quickly.
Yeah, there's one player specifically I want to talk to you about, ADP, who I was surprised their ADP is so high. Now, I like this guy, my Dynasty League. I mean, I do have him, so that's obviously a little bit more of a long-term play. But when I look at redraft leagues, I'm surprised how high this guy is being taken. It's running back for the Dolphins, Davon Achane, who we've seen the upside. He What did he average last year for? What is like 5.6 yards per carry or something?
It was like 7.8
last year.
No, it was otherworldly. It was like 8 yards or something. It was crazy.
It was college football numbers. I'll pull it up right now because it was literally absurd. It was 7.8 yards a carry.
Yeah, I was off by over 2 yards. But I see where the issues are, which, like, if I'm in a redraft league, I don't know if I'd take him as high as his ADP is with, you know, injury issues last year still, and then still the Dolphins, a loaded offense. I mean, Raheem Mostert obviously there at running back, and then all the weapons of wide receiver. So what are your thoughts on Davon Achain for fantasy football drafts heading into this week?
Yeah, I mean, Achain is Yahoo's running back 11 in PPR. That's the rankings I sort of go by. But the upside here is enough to make me regret not liking or avoiding him. But I mean, his limited usage in a crowded backfield, the injury history, it's all scary considering where he's going in the draft. Not to mention, they just added Jalen Wright with the 4th-round pick, who they seem pretty excited about. I've seen that he's going to have a role coming out as a rookie. It's just another mouth to feed there. Not to mention, obviously, Raheem Mostert, his familiarity with Mike McDaniel, the offensive scheme. We saw he scored 21 touchdowns last year. He's not just going to go away. Achain, he's due for some regression. Obviously, if he can counteract that with some sort of volume, but it's just hard to bet on that volume being there, which is why I just think Achain is so reliant on big plays. And then there's bound to be some duds throughout the regular season, which is a tough pill to swallow from the running back 1 position, which is where he's going based on his draft position.
Yeah, I mean, if he can average 7.8 yards per carry and stay healthy, then yeah, he's going to be, you know, the best fantasy player in the NFL this year. But also, you have to take into account he only had 103 carries. So, like, you double that amount of carries over a full season if he can stay healthy and if he, you know, gets the same amount of work. Is he going to be able to average 7.8 yards per carry?
I don't think
so. If he can average 7.8 yards per carry, he might end up being the best running back of all time. That's a lot to kind of bank on if you take him high in your draft. I want to talk about a quarterback because I do have a list of players here that you think are a little bit higher in terms of their ADP than where you think their value is. And the quarterback, if I look at this list, I think that's the one that shocks me the most. So talk to me about, you know, the quarterback that you think is their ADP is a little bit overvalued.
A little bit overvalued. I think it's CJ Stroud here. It's not about CJ Stroud, the player. I love CJ Stroud. I can watch him every Sunday. It's something I enjoy doing. Talented throw of the football. But in fantasy football, the quarterback position is really just about running the ball. It's such a cheat code being able to have a quarterback who can also run for 30 yards or score touchdowns with their legs. It's such a difference. He's being drafted around guys like Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. Obviously, Mahomes is the exception because he does run, but not to those guys' degrees, but he can throw for 5,000 yards any given year. And just with Stroud, with all the weapons there, it's tempting, but you're betting on 4,500 yards and 40 touchdowns with no rushing upside there. I mean, we saw last year, he ran for 167 rush yards. That's basically non-existent and not feasible for a top 5 fantasy quarterback, in my opinion, which is why I'm just staying away. And I'm actually taking him over the guy, or I'm taking the guy I'm taking at all costs at ADP that's a few spots behind him, over him 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, actually.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some, you know, players who you think have some value based on where their ADP is right now. Let's start with the quarterback position, a guy who does run the football. Because like you said, that's, you know, being able to run the football and rack up rushing yards is huge when it comes to fantasy production for quarterbacks. CJ Stroud, only 167 yards last year. So what quarterback do you think has some value in terms of their ADP?
For me, it's Kyler Murray. It was tough here. I was between him and rookie Jaden Daniels, but ultimately I went with Murray, just leaning towards the experience. The unknown of the rookie season is something that's interesting. I also think that a lot of people are catching on to Jaden Daniels as the preseason goes on with, like, the flashy plays and the training camp buzz. So Murray is where I leaned. And I mean, the rankings are starting to catch up also probably because Matthew Berry just recently picked him as his ride or die for the season too.
Damn it, Matthew Berry. Yeah. My draft hasn't happened yet. And I was waiting to get Kyler Murray so damn late. I'm on the same page as you.
Yeah. I mean, before that, I mean, even on some platforms still, like on ESPN, you can get Murray several spots after Stroud. And I just give me Murray straight up 10 out of 10 times. He has weak winning upside with the rushing floor, but also just you're guaranteed points pretty much with the rushing upside. And I just think the Cardinals are going to be an underratedly fun team to watch. They might not win a lot of games, but The defense isn't very good. The offense has a lot of exciting playmakers. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a great receiver from the start, in my opinion. Trey McBride is an incredible tight end. I like what they got with Michael Wilson as a secondary piece. And I like the backfield with James Conner, Trey Benson, and company. So I think there should be a lot of shootouts, plenty of negative games stripped. It all just sets up really well for Kyler Murray, in my opinion.
Lior, damn it. Don't give away all my strategy here. I was all in on, like, even some of the Arizona, like, receivers, like Trey McBride or something, for because they're going to be down a lot of games, but they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to throw the rock a hell of a lot. Kyler Murray, again, fantasy football is so much different than real football. I always try and have this caveat, and I do think at times the average consumer of both equate them to be the same. Whether that's good for fantasy football or bad for real football, it happens. You'll see a guy who puts up tons of numbers. Well, he's a great player. He's better than X. And you're like, well, no, he's just good in fantasy football. Let's take the totality of numbers here. Who's the better NFL player? They're completely different styles, two different games, basically. Yeah. But Kyler Murray is damn good in fantasy. Even if I don't think he's better than CJ Stroud, for this purpose, I do think you're right. Let's talk about tight ends for a moment here. Are there some tight ends you're staying away from, some you're going towards? Because I do think tight end is one of those positions that can either win your fantasy league or be the reason why you're just on the cusp of making the playoffs. Last year, you saw only a handful of tight ends who are real difference makers, and sometimes they weren't exactly the guy you thought they might be. You know, at times, Travis Kelce was going in the first or even second round. Well, now dude's getting older, and he went under a K for the first time in like 9 years. Where do you land on the tight end position?
So for me, the approach I'm taking with tight end this year is if I'm not grabbing one of those top four guys, I'm waiting as long as I can.
Who are the top four?
Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, Sam Laporta, Trey McBride.
Okay.
No, I didn't put them in order there. I'm sorry, but it's up to you, up to your interpretation. But with that being said, one I'm staying away from outside of the top four, George Kittle. I think this one's subject to change, obviously, depending on how the Brandon Ayuk saga unfolds. But I mean, his injury history, reliance on big plays, and low touchdown equity is just enough for me to stay away. He's produced one season with over six touchdowns, which happened to come last year, actually. But he's missed at least one game every year since his fully healthy 2018 breakout campaign. So, I mean, it's just not something you want to rely on, especially with such a thin position at like tight end. You want stability. Not to mention, the 49ers have significant offensive line issues, which normally is an issue for tight ends, but Kittle just happens to be one of the best blocking tight ends in recent NFL memory. Trent Williams, we know his ongoing holdout situation. John Feliciano is expected to be out for an extended amount of time. He's going to be placed on IR after having some knee surgery. So I think that Kittle is going to be a lot asked to stay in line and do a lot more blocking like we've seen in the past. His blocking percentage had dipped the past couple seasons, but I also think that was partially because of Deebo Samuel's health. Deebo Samuel's missed some games over the years. So I think assuming a healthy Deebo, assuming that Ayuk is there come week one, maybe week two, I think that Kittle is just a person to stay away from right now, and he falls right in that aforementioned dead zone I said before, like outside of the top four, but waiting as long as possible.
Where do you draft a Travis or a Trey McBride or one of these top four guys? Because again, there's so much, it's so advantageous to have one of those four versus just an average, let's say a Pat Freiermuth, right? Yeah. Like he might be fine a couple weeks, but the consistency is not going to be there. If you're in a 10-man league, around what round do you take a shot on one of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously it depends on how shallow or deep your league is, but if it's a 10-man league and it's a standard format, you're going to have most of your positions filled out regardless with some talented players. So I don't hate the idea of grabbing a tight end early in round three or four and just solidifying that one-off spot and then knowing that you can get talent at the receiver and running back position later on.
Now, there's one thing that we love to do in the show, unfortunately, or Sterling loves doing the show. I hate doing on this show, and that is pump up Chiefs players. And I understand you have two Chiefs players that you like this year for fantasy, one running back, one receiver. Let's wrap up on this because, like I said, there's nothing this show loves doing more than pump up the Chiefs. So what Chiefs players do you like?
So the running back one is obvious. Isaiah Pacheco, there's no really competition back there. So that's
Carson
a big part
Steele.
Of,
Carson Steele, get ready for the Man of Steel.
Is he a fullback or a running back? That's what we're
saying. He's a running back, okay? Because he's white, everyone's like, he's a fullback. He's never played fullback in his life. He's talking about this. He's a running back now, and he looked great in the preseason. I digress. I'm all in on the Steel train, though. He's got a crocodile, actually an alligator named Crocky J. Dude's a badass. Great lettuce, too.
Fair enough. I won't argue any of those reasons. But football reasons, whether it's him, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Denaric Prince, or the Luis Riz-Zamen, if I'm pronouncing that right, the rugby guy.
Yeah.
None of them are going to get in Pacheco's way of massive volume, which is why I think, and obviously arguably the best offense in the NFL led by the best quarterback in football. Not to mention the Chiefs got the best O-line, have an elite O-line. I won't say the best, but newly extended Creed Humphrey, which you guys discussed. Joe Thuney, Trey Smith, that interior O-line is dangerous. It's just going to set up a lot for Pacheco. And I think while it hasn't been the case in recent seasons with Andy Reid, he has a history of featuring running backs and it resulting in fantasy football excellence. Shady McCoy, Deuce Daly, Brian Westbrook, Kareem Hunt, Jamal Charles, they all eclipse 1,500 scrimmage yards at least once under Reid. And I think Pacheco could be next in line for that. I think he's a three-down back with receiving upside and great touchdown equity. So he's one of my favorite picks this year with top five running back potential.
I noticed you don't have a Falcon on this list.
Drake London could have been here. He definitely could have been a case for Drake London in the receiver spot. I think there's just, you got to see it with him first. I believe in the talent. I just think that it's been a lot of unknown with him, and I'm not really to just take that all-in plunge yet on him.
Kyle Pitts?
Where you it wasn't mentioned as a top four tight end.
I was about to say, well, of course, because I mean, he's been. Yeah, Kyle Pitts is out here, Ben, just potential. At some point, you got to do something outside your rookie season. I'm in on Kyle Pitts, by the way. He's in my dynasty league, Ian, and Falcon fans. So calm down. I'm rooting for Kyle Pitts.
I mean, the helmet behind me is signed by Kyle Pitts. So it's the value has only gone down since I bought that helmet. So I'm also in on Kyle Pitts.
Just wait till he comes to Kansas City post draft. Stop.
I wouldn't be shocked to be wrong on Pitts, but it's just, it's not something I'm betting on after being burned by him in the past.
And then let's wrap up with receivers that you do like in fantasy football this year.
Okay. Yeah. So I know you mentioned that I had another chief receiver. It was Rashi Rice, who I was leaning more towards, but I feel like he's been rising up the ranks lately as people are kind of seeing that he's not really going to get suspended anytime soon. So I pivoted to DK Metcalf, and this one's kind of more of a gut feeling. I really believe in the skill set. We all know the physical freak he is, just like what he can do on a football field and his size, his strength, his speed. But now with offensive coordinator Ryan Grubbs from the Washington Huskies there, I think that he's going to be there to maximize his talents. We saw that he can bring out the best in three receivers simultaneously like he did at Washington. Jalen Polk, Roma Dunes, Jalen McMillan, they all just got drafted this year very highly. Clearly, he did something right. I expect similar results with Metcalf, JSN, Tyler Lockett. And I really don't think Geno Smith is as bad as last year suggests. He's only two seasons removed from a breakout Pro Bowl campaign, leading the league in completion percentage with 30 touchdown passes. I think he's closer to that version of Geno than last year's version of Geno than we saw, which is why I think Metcalf will be the biggest beneficiary. And I really, one article that really swayed my opinion, Yahoo's Andy Behrens wrote something about how Metcalf could just be ready to explode in a new offensive scheme. He just needed some sort of change of environment. And I believe that. Not to mention, I think DK offers great floor play also. He's never had less than 900 yards or 6 touchdowns in a season. And I just think there's plenty of floor with incredible untapped potential too. Just absolute ceiling play can go off any given week. And I really believe that Grubbs can help maximize that.
I love that. As a man who drafted him in the third round of a 22-person league.
Whoa.
Yeah, 22 people. I had the 17th overall pick on my third pick wrapping back. I went DK Metcalf, so I hope so, because I've never done a 22-person league, and the names get thin quick.
Yeah, that sounds hectic. I haven't gotten that high in league count, but that sounds crazy.
Yeah, I like DK Metcalf a lot this year too. Actually, I wrote an article and did a podcast about my best futures bet for every single team, and my best futures bet for the Seahawks is actually Metcalf to go over his receiving yards total. So Yeah, I like that quite a bit as well. Lior, thank you so much for joining us, giving us your fantasy football knowledge. Like I said, it is this week is fantasy football week. It's time to do your drafts. And if you listen to Lior's advice, you're going to be in a pretty good spot heading into this season. So thank you so much for joining us, Lior. Let the people know where they can find your work.
Okay, yeah. So you can find me on fansided.com and also my X or Twitter handle, whatever you want to call it. My first and last name, Lior Lampert 1.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Lior. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
How many fantasy leagues are you in, Sterling?
Two. Oh, 22 person one.
Two is the number.
Two is the correct number.
I've overextended myself with four.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, for everyone who is listening, the Torrey Holt interview I had with him will play directly following this. If you're on YouTube, well, what are you doing? Just stay on Stack in the Box and go to videos and then click the Torrey Holt interview. A lot of fun talking with a member of the greatest show on turf. We talk about his Hall of Fame chances as well. Semi-finalist the past 2 years. He should be in the Hall of Fame. It's kind of crazy to me.
Yes.
But we talk about that in a whole
lot. Might be the most underrated receiver of all time, in my opinion.
You look at the numbers, the eye test, everything. Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yet somehow still just on the cusp.
Yeah, he unfortunately kind of his career fell off quickly. He went from like racking up like one of the top receivers to like disappearing from the league quickly. But still, yeah. I mean, for 10 years, he was an elite receiver, led the NFL in receiving yards twice.
Mm-hmm.
One of the more underrated receivers of all time. So, yeah, if you're like Sterling said, if you're listening to the audio, this is coming up. If you're watching this on YouTube, go watch the interview right after this. We are done. We're wrapping this up. Sterling, any final thoughts?
Dude, we're so close, man. Again, we're at the finish line. I can't wait. Football is back. I can't wait to sit my ass on my couch for like 9 straight hours and watch ball.
Red zone's almost here. Fantasy leagues this week, next week, start placing your week one bets, and then opening kickoff will be here. Thank you all so much for watching and listening. Rate and review the podcast wherever you're listening to it. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Stack in the Box. And we'll be back Wednesday for our season preview show at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Yes, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Talk to you then.
Sterling Holmes with Fansided and Stacking the Box, joined now by 7-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, and a key piece of the greatest show on turf, Torrey Holt. Torrey, how are you?
Not bad, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Good, I am doing man. Very, very well. I do want to give a shout out to Abbott, the official health sciences and nutrition partner of the Real Madrid Football Club. They hosted a soccer clinic on Friday, August 1st for pro athletes and influencers in New York City as part of the club's annual summer tour. Torrey, tell us more about this awesome event that you participated in.
Oh, man, it was incredible, man. You know, I had an opportunity to come out of retirement for at least one more day. Look, they took us through a press conference. They brought us up, gave us our jerseys. We had our jerseys, Real Madrid. I mean, it was a big deal, man. And had a really good time. We trained with Real Madrid coaches, and a bunch of other challenges that they took us through. And look, prior to the event, my two daughters play soccer. My wife played soccer at university. That's how she and I met at NC State. So they took me through some drills to get me ready for this particular challenge with Real Madrid. And I think I did pretty good. I held my own. We went through some drills, and then we also had played a match right there on the pitch. I think it was like 5-on-5 or so. And just went after it, man, and had a really good time. That was how it went down. And we all enjoyed. My team did not win, but more importantly, we had a really good time. We drank a lot of Ensure Max protein as well as Pedialyte to keep us hydrated while we was on the pitch.
Absolutely love that. Yeah, I bet you wish you had that going back in the day, huh? You wish you had some of that back in the day, keep you hydrated.
Yeah, I could have used some of that during some of those tough matches out there on the football field for sure.
I want to bring up you being such a catalyst for the greatest show on turf, because I think those teams that you played on, your fingerprints are all over the way the NFL is currently being played. Yeah. Do you ever take pride or think about how you guys helped usher in a new era of football?
Sure. Absolutely. You know, that's all part of the game. You know, when I first came into the National Football League, you know, there was guys like Jerry Rice and others that I looked up to and studied to see how Marvin Harrison, the list goes on, guys, is, you know, to watch and see how to play the passing game, and let alone the guys on my team, Isaac Bruce and Ricky Prohl and all the fellas showed me how to be a pro. And then Coach Mike Martz was just incredible with the offense that he had in store, had planned for us, and how we went out and was able to execute the type of offense that we ran. We were a pro offense. We would go, you know, two wide receivers, two backs, you know, tight end. Sometimes we would go two tight ends. We'd spread it out and go four receivers. We'd spread it out and go five receivers.
Yeah.
It was just for a wide receiver, it was receiver friendly offense. And we had quarterbacks like Kurt and Trent Green that could get us the ball. And like I said, Coach Martz was just dialing up the right plays and we were going out and executing it. And I think the league saw what we were doing, took some of the things that we were doing and implemented it into their offense. And now you're seeing such a pass happy league, and the receivers now, the type of numbers that they're putting up now is incredible.
Would you put up 2K now?
I would come close to it. I certainly would come right up to the point of 2000. Yes. Again, with the amount of balls that they're throwing, the amount of targets now that the guys are getting, the coverage now allows you to get into the offense, get into the defense a lot more easier than what it was when I played and even before when I played. So yes, I would have come close to 2000, if not over 2000.
I would say, and you have the extra game too, 1696. Yeah.
So the most yards I think I've had in a season was 1696, 1697.
You nailed it. 1696 right there.
Yeah. You know, so I got to believe again, with the way that the league is throwing the football, my ability to get open, catch the football and do things after it, after the catch, and then my ability to go deep down the field, I think again, would have put me right there close to 2000.
So was there any skepticism when you saw the offensive game plan? Obviously as a receiver, you had to be thrilled that, okay, it's a pass happy offense. Now Kurt, Trent Green, we're going deep, a lot of four or five wide receivers, but it hadn't really been done before. It hadn't really been, that wasn't the norm. So as a receiver, you're probably thrilled, but was there any skepticism of it translating to actual victories on the field?
Yeah. I mean, no, it was not, because if you watch the way that we practice, you know, there was many of times throughout the course of the weeks that the ball didn't touch the ground. So I'm saying, okay, if we can carry this over into game time, this will be very magical. And it was. But we had a great group of guys that were very unselfish, that really cared about each other, really enjoyed each other's success, and really challenged and pushed each other on a day-to-day basis to be really good receivers, to be really good backs, et cetera. To become a really good offense. So no, I was not surprised of the success that we had because of the way that we practice. And you hear all the time, if the way you practice will ultimately determine the way in which you play. And we practiced really well, and we went out and played really well as well on Sundays.
As I sit here in Kansas City, it's not hard to compare and see some of the similarities of the greatest show on turf and what the Chiefs have really done offensively.
Yeah.
What do you see in the Chiefs offense, and especially in the connection that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes seemingly have?
Well, that connection and that relationship and that partnership between those two, first and foremost, is critical and key. And they are right now both at the top of their games. Patrick Mahomes is incredible. And, you know, I was asked about a month ago, did I think that the Kansas City Chiefs could repeat a third time? And I said, absolutely yes. And the reason why is because they have the guy in Patrick Mahomes. It all starts in our league. It's a quarterback league. And it starts there. And they have the best quarterback in our game. Just the other day in the preseason game, if you was watching, the behind the back shovel pass. I mean, the confidence and the gall to do that. And I don't care if it is a preseason game, to do that in a game just goes to show you where they are offensively. And it all starts with Patrick Mahomes. Yes, Travis Kelce is awesome. They brought in Worthy. You mentioned Andy Reid, who's fantastic. Pacheco. I mean, they're loaded with talent. But Patrick Mahomes and his drive and his confidence and he's available day in and day out. He shows up for practice. He practices well, which ultimately carries over to the game. He's their leader. And when he's feeling good, you got to believe that the Kansas City Chiefs is feeling really good.
By the way, that was not planned in the game.
It wasn't
behind the back. No, but Mahomes talked after how he was mad at Travis Kelce for running the wrong route. And he said, I was mad. And so I threw it behind the back. He knew he had an option to do that if it so chose to. But Kelce ran the wrong route. And Mahomes talked. He goes, I was mad at Kelce, threw it behind the back. And well, now the rest is history. So
okay. See the calmness and the perfection in which he operates. He's mad that the guy that Kelce didn't run the right route, but you know what? It didn't bother him. I just flick it to you behind my back. This is unbelievable. I think he's awesome, man. I think he's awesome. Yeah.
I wanted to get your thoughts on this. How did you feel about the Rams moving back to LA after being in St. Louis so long? I've always wondered what it was like for Rams, former Rams players on this.
Yeah, you know what? Initially, I was upset. I really was. And I was just like, man, there goes the history that we created there in St. Louis for bringing them a championship, playing into Super Bowls while there. And now all of that we've earned, all of that we built is now being picked up and moved out to Los Angeles. So I was a little disturbed by that. Certainly was upset, but I had to get over it. And I have. And, you know, they now moved out to Los Angeles. They have a great team, great product out in L.A. I still go out to games, still support and rock with the team. They still support and rock with me. And it's been good, man. They already have won a Super Bowl out in Los Angeles. So they've clearly moved on. And the fans there in Los Angeles are super excited about their football team. And you know, and I will say this, I'm really still excited that we still have some fans there in St. Louis that still support the team, that still supports us. I know they are upset as well, but they still are going out and supporting the team as best they can. It's but to your point, yeah, initially, certainly was a little disappointed.
Obviously, you thrived versus both man and zone coverage. It didn't really matter too much to you. But what did you prefer going up against? And the majority of wide receivers, what do they like to see?
Oh, man. Well, to make it easy for us, certainly like off coverage, because now I can, you know, I don't have to avoid, you know, press coverage and a jam and having to, you know, keep my body language straight. And now if he's off, I could just get off the ball and run my route. That's a lot easier for wide receivers. But I anticipated zone coverage. I anticipated two man. I've seen every coverage in the book, and I had to learn how to beat all of those coverages if I wanted to get the football. Because in our game, if you don't get open, the quarterback is going to get off of you, and he's going to throw the football somewhere else. So I had to learn quickly how to get open versus all coverages. And I was able to do that. I was actually able to master the ability to get open versus all coverages. But if I had a coverage that I prefer, and I think all wide receivers would probably say this, it's off coverage, because now I can really get up on the DB and do my thing.
Yeah. You've been a finalist for the Hall of Fame 5 years in a row now. Your numbers say you should be in. The analytics say you should be in. The eye test says you should be in. How hard has this waiting game been for you?
You know what? It's been challenging, Sterling. It has. Every year I learn something new about the Hall of Fame process and how it all goes. But I remain patient. I lean on my faith. At some point, I'm hoping that the voters will finally vote me in to the final five. For the last 2 years, I've been voted down to the final 10. So that's a good sign. So you go from 25, what is it, 15, 10 to 5. So I've been at 10 the last 2 years. So now I just need a couple more voters, you know, to get me to number 5, which is the magic number here. But at the same time, I'm very thankful to be mentioned as a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. If you think about all the guys that's played in our league, man, it's been, what, 20 plus some thousand guys that's played in our league, maybe 30 now. 1,000 plus guys has played in our league, and there's only 300 plus some Pro Football Hall of Famers. It is a tough class to get into. So to be a finalist the last 5 years, I'm certainly humbled and thankful for that. Just need a little bit more from the voters to get me over the top. But again, certainly appreciative. I love the game of football. I love what it's done for me. I love what it's done for my family and friends. And I approach the game. I try to approach the game every year the right way, play it the right way, have respect for it, go out, uplift my position, which is the wide receiver position. So now I'm just waiting to see if I am don the gold jacket, man. That will be the to me, that would be the icing on the cake of a pro football career.
I'll try and do my job over here to give you that final push. I'll do what I can. Man. Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll try tush push you over right there. We'll do the tush push.
Right.
What is the hardest aspect of playing wide receiver in the NFL? What's an aspect of playing that maybe the average fan might not understand?
Oh, wow. Well, for one, you got to be in really, really good shape. Because all we do as wide receivers is run. We run every single day, all practice long. We kind of set the tempo for how practice will be practice. Because if we're lazy getting in and out of the huddle and getting into our routes, it just slows things down. So you got to be in really good shape. Your endurance has to be up. If you think about the numbers that Jerry Rice has put up, he was in great shape. If you think about the numbers that Calvin Johnson put up, some of the single season record numbers that he's put up, that takes a tremendous amount of endurance. Cooper Kupp, the job that he did, that takes a tremendous amount of endurance and leg strength and core strength to be able to do that. So you have to be in great shape. You have to know your assignment. You have to get lined up properly, right? Then you have to get your depths. Your depths are critical because the quarterback, if the route calls for 15 yards and you're running a route at 12 or 10, the quarterback's not going to throw it to you. For one, he's not ready to throw it to you. So you have to get your depths. Then you have to get open, catch the football, and come alive. But the number one thing, as I mentioned before, is you have to be in incredible shape.
Mm. All right. And part of that is, I'm assuming, Ensure Max Protein, your go-to drink. Where can folks find that? And also, where can folks get an inside look at the soccer clinic that you participated in with Real Madrid?
Well, let me tell you that Ensure Max Protein has 30 grams of protein. 30 grams of protein. So it's one of my favorite pre and post snacks, you know, to get me ready. And then you can find the Ensure Max Protein at your local grocery store. And then if you want to find or see more about the event that we did out in New York, which was, again, was a great time, you can go onto my Instagram, check out my Instagram reel, and you'll see all the cut-ups of the event out in New York with Abin and the Real Madrid and some of the influencers, as well as some of the athletes that participated. Kenny Smith participated in it, myself, and Justin Tuck out played with the New York Giants, was also in the building. So it was a great time. So yeah, man, check us out on Instagram Reel.
7-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, Torrey Holt. Torrey, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sterling. All the best.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.